founder and president of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. For our listeners, Voices for the Animals airs at 10 a.m. on the fourth Friday of every month, or you can listen online anytime at kboo.fm/voicesfortheanimals. Until next time.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 10:30, which means it's time for Film at 11. Right after I tell you that KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Dark Side Cinema. Open every night featuring independent foreign and art house films. The Dark Side is located at 215 Southwest 4th Street between Madison and Jefferson Avenues in Corvallis, Oregon. More information and showtimes available online at darksidecinema.com.
I'm DK Holm, and I'm here with Mona.
Yes, I am here too.
And Hallie.
Hi,
yay,
I'm back.
Hallie's back.
And remind the good people at home just who and what you do, because you do all this stuff, the comedy, the wine. Summarize.
Yeah, so I'm a house team player at Curious Comedy Theater, which is primarily an improv theater on MLK between Alberta and Killingsworth. So we have shows going on pretty much every night of the week. I'm on house team Helix, so we do... a tarot kind of based improv. So
tarot cards?
Yeah.
Color me intrigued.
Yeah, so I'll just leave it at that. We just had a show last night. We perform the last Thursday of every month at 7:30 in the Annex, which is the second space that the theater has.
Well, you're a busy person.
And the, yes. Yeah, and then I also have my wine podcast with one of my comedy partners, Adrian, called Bottle Blonde's Wine. And
is it funny?
It is funny. It's funny and educational. We try to make wine, we call it the Unstuffy Wine Podcast. So,
and you're taking, can you talk about the test you're taking tomorrow? Is that private?
Oh, no, it's not private. I'm taking an Italian wine scholar exam tomorrow.
Ooh, it's, molto bene.
Yes, I've taken many tests, tests in preparation for the big test.
Oh.
And when I get a right answer, the little screen goes, molto bene. but yeah, it's a two-part unit test because Italy is so big and complicated. So this part is just on central and southern Italy. So.
Do you ever go to Nostrana, which is used to be right down the street from you, but now it's...
Yeah.
We've had Kathy Wims on the show a few times. She's one of the co-owners.
Oh, I mean, I love Nostrana. I think their food is delicious. I just, I don't get out there very often.
That's right, because you're too busy.
I make time to get out for a dinner once in a while, but.
Well, I just want to remind everybody that one of our services to our listeners is to list all the opening movies on the episode's webpage, which is live, and so you can get a big survey of what is opening and what is being revived around town. I know that Call of the Wild is still playing. I saw that recently. Boring. Completely betrays Jack London.
Really? Oh, this is the one with Harrison Ford?
And yes. The fake dog.
And yeah, I was like, that's a
it's so fake looking. I can't.
Dog.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's, you know, Jack London's got a very severe world view of, you know, red in tooth and claw, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And hyper-masculine.
To quote another. Well, just, it's rough out there. It's rough out there for a dog.
It is. And I know Laurelhurst is still playing a lot of the Oscar-nominated
Yes, Parasite,
films.
Knives Out.
Well, and Parasite's still at Cinema 21, 3 months now.
Yeah, I have it on my computer yet
Amazing.
To be watched.
Wow.
But I did see
Sit
Knives
down,
Out.
Watch it.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it. I was distracted. I need to be in the right
You have
headspace.
To. You have to be able to pay attention. There's a lot that goes on there. It's very subtle.
Yeah, and I just haven't. I just haven't been there with studying for this test. But as soon as
Fair
I,
enough.
As soon as the test is over, I am watching.
Well, when you're drunk on Italian wine all the time, it's really hard to read those subtitles.
Agreed.
So we're going to do a very special episode of Film at 11 today. And it's a topic, it's a subgenre of movies, science fiction movies and horror films about people caught in a time loop.
Yeah, so I figured since it was a leap year,
yes.
it'd be fun to play with leap years tomorrow. I thought it'd be fun to play with time. And I wouldn't so much call it a genre. I think it's more of a trope because it can, I mean, it typically is seen more in horror and sci-fi movies. But I think we all, and some of the movies we're going to be talking about, it's in comedy, it's in, you know, kind of independent, more foreign films. It's really just this fun trope that transgenre-nal, I'm making up that word. because I think so many of us are fascinated by it because we ourselves have been like, man, I really wish I could have lived that day over or done something different. I can't think of a single person who probably hasn't thought that
now,
at some point.
Would you consider the Terminator movies a part of this trope?
Oh.
I mean, I guess...
Hadn't thought about it.
Because they never... The way that the films and the sequels work, they never fix it.
Mm-hmm. No, you know? They never fix it, yeah. I would not have called the first one, but maybe the second one. And then the ensuing movies are basically terrible for the most part.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the newest one.
I think when I was making this list today, I'm thinking of movies that are, it's like very, very obvious
yes.
that it's like the day is starting over, the day is starting over, the day is starting
okay,
over.
Okay, yeah.
You know, versus it kind of being drawn out maybe across sequels
right.
or
so Sliding Doors would not be in this genre because that's about two parallel lives all based on the happenstance of a door opening or closing.
I mean it could. I mean yes.
I think sliding door movies are their own subgenre
yeah.
of this.
Yeah, like there was an Australian movie I, Me, Mine or Me, Myself and I.
Mm-hmm.
Where a woman she wakes up one day and she's living the alternative life she might have led had she made certain choices earlier in the, but that's a different,
that's a different,
well,
we'll come,
let's
we'll
talk
have
about
Hallie
your,
come back and talk about that and 13 Going on 30 and a bunch of movies like that.
Yeah.
So what are some looper movies that are preeminent examples of the genre?
I guess everyone's favorite classic comedy, Groundhog
Day. Of course.
Groundhog Day.
It's a movie that never gets old.
I know.
And I think you can just
I can watch it every day and forget that I saw it the day before.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting about, you know, within the trope, there's the... Are we doing it to fix the character's flaws, as in Groundhog Day, because Bill Murray's character, Phil, is such a you-know-what, that the whole purpose of the time loop is to get him to change as a person, versus maybe a more sci-fi-based movie that we're going to talk about, Edge of Tomorrow or Looper, is more... We have to change the events of this day so there isn't some bigger catastrophic thing
that
happens.
And interesting thing about Groundhog Day, nowhere in the movie is it explained why it is happening and what the goal is. However,
exactly.
If you watch the trailer, which is really hard to see, it's not even on the DVD. On the trailer, they actually say he's going to relive that same day until he gets it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it basically spoils the premise, but the movie doesn't. It's right. interesting. Some trailers
yeah,
are
like
interesting.
Yeah, like get what right, you know?
Yeah.
Like the romantic angle, the personality angle, the coworker
right.
relationship angle. But Bill Murray, such a joy, obviously.
Why is that movie so magical? It's just, I don't, what
well,
it is.
Well, I don't think it works with a different actor.
Yeah, it probably would.
I think you have to have someone like him who can play a total jerk, but also be lovable at the same time and also be able to carry all, be funny but poignant. And that's a really tough line to walk.
Are we afraid to admit that we identify with his misanthropy?
I don't think so. I think that's why the movie works. I mean, who's the guy? Is it I want to say Ned Flanders, but that's wrong. The guy who keeps trying to sell him insurance.
Oh, Steve Tobolowsky.
Steve, who I love. But I mean, how many times have you wanted to push someone like that off the sidewalk, you know? Like, just like you've reached the end of your rope, you know, with someone. And you know, and in his world now, there's no consequences to his insanity because he's just going to start it all over again the next day.
What did you think of the Super Bowl commercial?
Oh, I love it.
I didn't watch it.
Love it. We'll have to find it online for
you. Yeah, I only have a couple of the free channels because my bunny ears are deficient. So I only get a couple channels.
Well, you can find it online.
The rest is streaming.
But yes, there's a Groundhog Day Super Bowl. Well, it's you can find it online now.
It came out of nowhere. No one knew that.
Forget who it was for. Some kind of car. Yeah.
Was Bill Murray in it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And a groundhog.
And Phil, the groundhog.
Phil.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think another just my favorite part of these time or living the same day over and over again movies is that first day where they are going out and they're realizing what's happening.
Yes.
They're like, is this real? Is this happening? And then by day two, the reality sets in that, oh my God, it's the same day. Like that first part of any of those
but
films.
It seems
like
so
delightful.
It would seem to be so tiring because I keep having to convince people that you're not crazy. Those dishes are going to clatter, you know, and so forth. When he's in the restaurant trying to convince her how many days do you think? How many times has he relived this
hundreds.
Day?
Hundreds. It's he becomes a virtuoso piano player.
Yeah.
It's hundreds of times. I mean, I think if we only see how many, several dozen, but it's got to be hundreds of times that this has happened because he just starts zipping through the day and doing like catching the kid falling out of the tree and all of that stuff. And now he's playing jazz piano like he was born to it, you know?
Yeah, I think that's something the movie did very well is, you know, really showing that this has been forever. And I think a lot of people kind of don't realize that. They're like, oh yeah, I can learn piano like that in 5 days. Like, no, you can't.
No.
It takes a very long time.
No. It might actually add up to a couple of years.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or more. I mean, but it's interesting. And I love that they never explain the premise of how it happened.
Yeah.
What's the
or where it's happening. Is it in a separate universe?
Right,
I don't know. It's just that when you think about it, you go mad.
I love that. Yeah, it is what it is.
So we're talking about Looper movies, so let's talk about the other one, Looper, that we're getting the name from.
Yes. I guess in retrospect, when I wrote this down, this one might be more of a time travel
so
movie.
Maybe more Back to the Future-y than Looper-y.
Yeah, I guess probably a better example of living the same day over and over again is Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
yes,
so
absolutely.
I love that movie. No one.
Well, and it should be called Come On, All You Need Is Kill. It really bothers me that they named it that because it's from that Japanese comic All You Need Is Kill, which is such a brilliant name.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized marketing wise that Edge of Tomorrow just wasn't, it didn't ex- it's such a it's kind of a bad name.
It's generic, and also
it.
It's
very
it's
generic.
A it sounds like a TV soap opera.
Right, exactly. It really does. They changed it to Live, Die, Repeat when it came out on DVD and all of that, but it's still All You Need Is Kill is a brilliant name and honestly should have been kept.
These are the days of the week.
The days of the week.
Exactly. But yes, that's a great example.
Yeah, so Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt.
Oh my God, such a badass.
It's an alien invasion movie, and Tom Cruise's character is basically a pencil pusher in the army who gets...
Coward.
Yeah, who is basically like, well, we're running out of men, so now you have to go fight.
Right.
And through some sort of magic alien... I don't know if I mean, there's a statute of limitation in this movie, right? I can kind of give away some stuff.
Yeah, I think spoiler alert.
It is hard to get your head around it
when
the explanation finally comes.
Right.
It makes sense, but you go... as I always do with time travel movies, like, okay, so what's happening is this, and I got to keep this straight in my head as I keep watching many more movies, the moments.
Well, essentially, the aliens live time differently.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So, they...
That's a good way to put it.
Right. So, there is a one main alien, and somehow Tom Cruise's character gets some of this main alien on him.
Contaminated.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that part.
So, and then he starts to relive these days. Mm-hmm. And then again, here's a guy who's, how many hundreds of times does he do it? You see so many of his failures, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Yeah, he has to keep doing it until he essentially becomes a combat veteran-ish soldier,
right.
You know, who can actually figure out what he's doing.
This, what I love about this movie is, of course, it's a lot of Tom Cruise running, which no Tom Cruise movie is.
He loves to run.
But he is he is an unwilling hero. He mm-hmm. is a fallible, very flawed person mm-hmm. who is thrust into this situation that he does not want. And he has to rise to the occasion, but it is so funny when he's going through basic training and all of his, like, it is very funny how many times he has allowed himself to get killed in that movie in the most hilarious of ways. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
And I think
that's a good movie.
Some of the small joys in that movie, I think, come from the director, Doug Liman, who,
brilliant,
you know, was previously doing more independent kind of comedy in the 90s.
Stuff, yeah.
So this was a really nice change for him, and I think he should do more.
And he did the movie where Brad Pitt met Angelina Jolie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, that's
yes.
right.
So he can handle an action sequence
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
make them feel also very human. At the same, like, have the point of view of the people who are in it rather than just huge swirl of insanity going on around the person.
Yeah, so this is Film 11.
Yes.
DK Holm here with Mona and Hallie talking about Looper movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So next, let's do another genre switch here. Let's go to Happy Death Day.
Yes, I love this movie. And also Happy Death Day to you.
This movie is a... Yeah, we'll just call it a classic slasher movie, but with this trope of living the same day over and over again. And the actress in this is a, you know, her character named Tree, I believe.
Yeah.
Interesting choice.
Yeah. Well, it's better than, it's short for Katrina.
Yeah.
So Tree, I mean, she could have been called Nuh.
I didn't even think that. Oh, okay, good to know. That's a nickname for that name now. But she is kind of a you-know-what. She's a person who is flawed, probably in a typical college way where she's a little...
A mean girl?
Yeah, mean girl.
Oh, she's at the top of the social...
Yeah,
you know, Tree, and it seems like initially it's going to start out to be something almost like a I don't know, what are the Reese Witherspoon movies where she goes to college?
Blonde Ambition,
Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde. It has that sort of like, she's in a sorority type situation or what have you, and she's the top of the food chain, all the boys are hot for her and stuff, and then that is not what happens at all.
She gets murdered by a baby face mask.
Yes.
Which is, I think, the mascot of the college. I can't recall
something,
now.
Yeah, it is
something. It's a very bizarre mask, and she dies. She wakes up and has a very funny of that first character first day realization of, is this the same day, what is happening? And has to essentially solve her own murder. So,
it's really good. She gets to the point where she just has zero F's left to give.
Yeah.
And she's just walking around campus nude and like just, she doesn't care because she knows what's going to happen. And it's pretty amazing. And she has that same transformation that Bill Murray's character has,
mm-hmm.
where she, you know, becomes more.
I thought I'd seen this, but now I think I haven't. And what happens in the sequel? Is it the same person, or does she go through the whole thing again?
So in the sequel, what happens is, I'm trying to remember, I think someone else gets murdered.
I think the killer is killing her friends, I think.
Yes,
yeah.
And she has to try to prevent those murders. Yeah, I did see it recently, but I haven't.
So again, it never ends.
So it never ends. But again, it's very, very funny, and that's the thing. It takes more of a scream. Point of view mm-hmm. of like a teen or college horror movie versus, you know, like a Nightmare on Elm Street sort of thing.
Yeah, so I think that's why it got a sequel. Everyone's like, oh.
It's good. Again, you know, an example of probably a really inexpensive movie to make that actually really works, like, because all the pieces come together and the story's good.
Do we know the name of the actress who is in the...
Yes.
In both... Is she in both films?
Yeah, her name is Jessica Roth.
Oh, I don't know her.
And so it's... These are movies that are going to be filled with some semi-familiar faces, but most of them are not. Again, why they were so inexpensive to make.
Mm.
But they're going to be... So the Happy Death Day films, you'll be like, I've seen that guy somewhere, probably on a teen comedy sitcom or something like that. But no, it's they're much better than they really need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you say that, never mind. I want to hear about the next movie.
Oh, the next movie, maybe, to me it is living the same day over and over again, but based off of like a choice you might make, like am I going to meet more of like a sliding doors?
Mm-hmm.
It's a mix between a sliding doors probably and a time loop, and that's the German foreign film Run Lola Run.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That is really fun, the way that one sequence is a cartoon, another, I mean, different things happen, and we don't know, once again, we don't know why. It's just a pyrotechnical, exciting what's she got, 15 minutes to get the money?
To get the money, and it just kind of shows you like these small things, like, yeah, do I go, if I went left here, how's it going to hold me up? If I go right here, if that dog hadn't have been there, would I have gone this other way? This one plays more with the what if and the choices we make and how they can send a ripple effect.
Do you think this is an example of how the video game has influenced or infected
movie
narrative?
Maybe. Well, that's an interesting question.
And while you're pondering that, would you say that This Is Spinal Tap has a looper quality? And I'm referring to the drummers that keep... No, I don't... Probably not.
Oh, I haven't... it's been a very long time since I've seen This Is Spinal Tap.
Moving on, back to Run Lola Run.
I mean, I guess it just... was the first, I don't know, to me it was coming out when I was just kind of discovering like maybe foreign films, and I think it got nominated for some Academy Awards, and it really launched the career of
Franca Potente,
who does both English language and continues to do German language films. But I think what's interesting about this movie is that it's not really that happy of an ending.
No,
it's
a grim world of criminals and privileged people who've gone astray and so forth.
Yeah, all these other ones have had happy endings to some extent.
Even Happy Death Day.
She survives.
She lives. She figures it out. She survives. Yeah.
Sorry, that was a spoiler, but
it's from 2017, so don't be mad. 3 years.
I think the statute of limitations on spoilers is still about 10 years, but it depends on the popularity of the movie.
Hey, you know, Peanuts spoiled Citizen Kane.
Peanuts.
The comic strip, yeah.
It did?
Yeah.
How?
Lucy told Charlie Brown that Rosebud is the sled.
Like it came out in...
Spoiler alert, sorry. Rosebud's a sled.
That statute has definitely run.
You'd be surprised.
I mean, that's such a joke in... I mean, that's a joke at this point in a lot of other TV shows, is the sleigh. I guess those were kind of the only ones that I had. Looper, I had originally thought, but that one is more about meeting your past self. Which also comes up a lot. That new Will Smith movie that I can't think of right now also kind
the
of...
The Tank, Gemini Man.
Gemini Man, kind of also covers the what would you do if you ran into the past you?
That's an example of
yourself?
A movie. That's a movie that has one good scene and the rest of it is really boring.
The Gemini one or Looper?
Gemini Man.
Gemini Man.
Is Emily Blunt in that one too?
Looper? In Looper, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Emily Blunt's right. Yeah, Looper, that's Bruce Willis, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And Emily Blunt runs the farm.
Yep, mom.
There's time travel in this, but there is also a reason why all this is happening in Looper. He's trying to prevent something from happening by going back into the past to change his mind. I can't remember the details, but there's this. But how does he Time travel. Do we remember how that even occurs?
I think it's through like time travel is like a punishment through the mob, maybe. I don't know. I put this movie down on the list and I was like, oh, it's been a while since I've seen this.
Yeah.
But I remember really enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Is that climbing too?
Well, it's complicated, no. But the thing about it is that you can actually follow the story for the most part, which doesn't always happen with movies like this. Like, they just throw something out there and you're like, I don't understand.
Back to the Future
how
2,
this works. But yeah.
Which is more of a time travel genre than that one, that piled on the meta stuff so thick. I almost went mad. I couldn't follow what was going on. And so they're taking scenes from the first one, and then he's watching the scene from the first movie wherein he is watching his parents do sizes. The levels of it's like a kaleidoscope you're looking through.
It got a little much for sure.
Yeah.
Other movies that we came across that we're kind of discussing before, which maybe aren't worthy of a full on discussion, which also cover this time loop thing, are the Denzel Washington movie Deja Vu, Source Code.
You know, I feel like I've seen that before.
Yeah, Source Code with Jake Gyllenhaal, which is actually pretty good. It's good. It has an unexpected ending.
Oh.
Yeah.
Again, a somber one, but...
A somber one, but it has a happy ending and a somber ending, I would say, yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. Man, I had this whole thing pulled up, and I was like, maybe not that one. I don't know.
Well, when you're trying to carve out a particular kind of genre or trope, you got to be really specific and...
Well,
get to the high points.
So, how come we didn't talk about 12 Monkeys?
12 Monkeys is based on...
With Bruce Willis, which is weird.
It became a TV show, but before that it was the movie...
Well, because it's 1995.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the director is the...
Terry Gilliam.
Yeah, Monty Python director. But it, in turn, was based on a French film by Chris Marker called La Jetée, which has got to be on YouTube, I'm sure it is, about 15 or 17 minute short film about a guy in the post-apocalyptic future undergoing an experiment to see if he can go into the past and change it so that the end of the world doesn't occur. Mm-hmm. But instead, he goes back and sees something that he saw as a kid. Can't say any more than that. I will add, though, that it's a movie that is made not from action, but from still pictures and narration. It's a very interesting exercise.
And it's like
exercising.
Full length, like 60 minutes or 90 minutes?
15 minutes.
Oh, it's a short film. Okay. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. 12 Monkeys, I remember having a hard time following, but I liked it. And I really liked the weird imagery and that Santo and Johnny song playing in the background all the time. I think that made it a very, very ominous, kind of creepy. Even though that song is supposed to be very like romantic and dreamy, putting that Santo and Johnny song juxtaposed with this like apocalyptic movie was a nice touch of the director.
So we've only got about a minute. Is there anything else that you want to say about movies? Or movie books, or... Oh, by the way, I have very conflicted feelings about Hunters, the Netflix show about the Nazi...
So, can we talk about this next week?
Because
I've been watching it, and I love it, but at the same time, I'm like, should I love it?
I know, it's...
Yeah, no, but it's so much different than I expected it to be, and I'm really loving Al Pacino in it.
It's cartoony in a way that almost feels like it's an insult to the subject matter.
Yeah, but at the same time, the subject matter is so deeply disturbing, I wonder if that's a distancing device, but they don't distance you from it at all. It's a deeply disturbing, so much of what they show. It's really
heartbreaking. How far are you in it?
I'm about five episodes in.
We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, let's talk about it next week.
Actually, next week is a special episode with Rick Mitchell talking about movie music documentary films.
Great.
So that'll be fun.
We'll
discuss Once We're Brothers and various other new documentaries coming out. There's one on The Doors, Ray Manzarek, and so forth. So that's next week on Film and 11. This has been This Week on Film and 11 with Hallie and Mona and myself talking about Looper movies.
Yes, and I should say almost all of the ones we've been talking about are available to stream in some way.
Yeah, they're all old enough now.
And if you're not careful, you're going to hear this episode in about
again.
In a
until
minute.
We get it right.
And Sonny and Cher will wake you up every morning.
Oh, we should have had that. We should have programmed that in. Okay.
I got you, babe.
There we go.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Bye. Thanks.
Hello, we are Pacific Underground on KBOO Community Radio. Our show is on hiatus until May, and until then, we are looking for new members to join the collective. Pacific Underground is the only show by and for Asians and Pacific Islanders in the Pacific Northwest. There's no experience necessary to join, just an enthusiasm for API content and stories through the medium of community radio. If you are Asian or Pacific Islander and are interested in joining, please contact us at pacificunderground@kboo.org, all one word, or message us on Instagram at @PACUnderground.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Act Now on Climate Emergency, Thursday, February 27th, 4 to 7 p.m. at Portland City Hall. This climate emergency rally will demand annual steps to reduce carbon emissions by at least 8% each year and to end Zenith tar sand oil.